Welcome, everybody, to our second mentor call, Shame, Going from Victim to Empowered. The call is hosted by Agnieszka and Adamantia, and I'm just going to introduce you to Adamantia. Adamantia has been studying psychosomatic therapy since 2013, but even before that, she has overcome amazing personal health challenges that have really allowed her to experience her body at a very deep level and reconnect with her inner self. So she's an amazing guide and a great psychosomatic therapist. She's a master psychosomatic therapist, and she's very, very passionate about this work. So I'm so glad to be here with her today.
Thank you, Agnieszka. Thank you. And I'm thrilled to be here with Agnieszka as well today and with all of you, in particular Agnieszka's passion as well for this work. And you know, I think actually all of you know her, and she's been working closely with Carol since 2010 and is basically her right-hand woman. It's amazing what she gets done over there. And she's actually the face that you see if you've had the pleasure of going into the offices in Calgary. She's the first face that you see when you walk in the doors. And she's just constantly, again, with her passion, allowing and guiding people in this work to help them become empowered and moving forward with it. So thank you, Agnieszka, for having me here as well today.
Thanks, Adamantia. So today we're going to present a little bit of an overview about shame and how we can go from victim to empowered. And then we're going to open it up to questions from all of you, just allowing you to ask anything you would like. So first of all, when we look at shame, there are certain characteristics that differentiate shame from guilt. Shame is what dims our light. It keeps us small and disempowered. Shame essentially states that there's something deeply wrong with us. So when we feel shame, we feel that feeling of there's something wrong with us, whereas guilt is external. It's about behavior, not about self. So guilt is something we might feel bad about doing something or making a mistake, and then we get over it. Shame is much more internalized. And we're going to start this call with shame because shame is a root issue. And we carry this shame in the very, very core of our being. This is a societal, tribal thing that every human shares at a greater level or lesser level. And basically, the cure for shame is vulnerability. So today, this whole call, we'll be talking about shame and vulnerability and how we can step into our power through vulnerability. Shame also deals with the root and sacral chakra. And because it's a root chakra issue, it can really be destructive if we don't step into our power and allow vulnerability to empower us. I just said power twice in one sentence, hey?
So I guess it's
do you think, Adamantia?
Well, I think that shame is one of those topics I think that is avoided. It's not discussed openly, primarily, I think, because it exposes those parts of ourselves that, A, we want to hide from others, but also, and what I found as well within myself, is hiding from myself. And those things that we are hiding, that we are ashamed of, they affect all aspects of our life, our personal relationship with ourselves, our personal relationship with others. And shame is rooted deep in belief systems, and even belief systems that are not ours. They're learned from our environment, whether it be the collective consciousness of just being a human, from our culture, from our religion, and actually even if it's not our religion, but it's so embedded in different religions, in our family of origin. So it's one of those things that as a small child, it's not there, but then it starts to get embedded, I guess you could almost say, in our unconscious. And it's really deeply connected to our identity and the essence of who we believe we are. So it can be really a real challenge to overcome. because some of the shame we are aware of in our conscious mind, and you know, a lot of it actually sits in our unconscious. So it can be seen perhaps in our behaviors or in our thought patterns, but maybe we're not even conscious of it. And it's why it's actually in the beginning of the BAM module, is because to bring those into light as we're moving forward to awaken into our true essence, our true identity, we need to look at those parts that we're hiding from, because they can actually become obstacles later from really embracing who we really are. And one way that I see it is it's the silent killer of our soul's true expression of who we really are. It disconnects us from ourselves and from others, and really keeps us stuck in those feelings of, see, shame is really that voice of, I am not good enough. I am not pretty enough. I am not intelligent enough. I am not powerful enough. It's that voice that can really hold us back. And it has to do really how we feel, we appear to others even, fear of being seen for who we believe we really are. It has really nothing to do with what we've done. It's more about a belief system about ourselves. But, you know, what I'm really suggesting is a false belief system, one that's more of a programming, conditioning, as opposed to who we really are.
It's interesting because shame, it shows us or tries to convince us that we're essentially flawed, that our true nature is flawed. And if you think about the spark of God within us, how can both of those reside in the same body at the same time? There's a choice that needs to be made. Which way are we going to step it toward?
Yes. So the significance of looking at those part of ourselves that we are ashamed of is huge, and putting it on paper is a very, very healing component. And I would take it even one step further, where for myself, my personal experience is admitting it to myself, but then I've taken it further and I admitted those parts that I've been hiding to another person. And of course, someone that would be trustworthy, because it's really that shame is attached to the inner child, to that inner child's brokenness, who was never good enough or was always doing something wrong. And again, it's about becoming honest with oneself and then admitting it outwardly. And because the shame can be how we can be seen and what manifests in our life as well, and is very, very closely also related to perfectionism, having to constantly strive to be more, to do more, to achieve more. But somehow it has such a grip on us that we can always fall short. And as a result, that's, as Agnieszka said in the beginning, that's what keeps us small and disempowers us and may keep us in victim mentality. And that's why really this call is about from victim to empowerment. And when the energy of shame is released, because it is an energy field, all emotions are an energy. And if we're carrying shame, which is a very dense energy, because it's a lower chakra energy, so it would be one of the densest. So it can be a heavy, heavy energy. And people can experience, you know, symptoms of shame could be like depression or addictions. And really, they don't even have to be addictions as in, say, drugs and alcohol, which may be the first things people think about addictions, but shopaholic, rageaholic, relationshipaholic. And it controls our behavior. So then we become people pleasers, caretakers, and can get into the whole guiding us in our codependency patterns as well. So the real significance of looking and admitting to ourselves those parts that are based on programming and beliefs anyway that we find are falling short, when we can look at them and see that there's no real truth to it, then we can become willing to overcome, to release them and let it go. And I just had a personal experience recently about and I did actually post it in the Facebook page about warts that I've had on my bottom of my feet. And I had some great feedback about people telling me what to put on them, and it was great to get rid of them. And I appreciated that. But the true essence of why I even shared it is because I realized the shame beneath the manifestation of them, because they're considered something ugly, and people always, you know, we cringe when we see them. There's this like collective belief about them, and it really triggered within me the shame of being seen, and oh, you're not going to like me because of my wart. But it has nothing to do with the wart. The wart was just their manifestations of a belief that I had in myself. And through actually even sharing it openly like that, there was a freedom that came from it. I actually had to breathe through it after. So, you know, when I said earlier, we admit the shame to ourselves, and then I suggest it, sharing it with another. Well, I shared with the world of Facebook. I went into some fear about it at first, and then I was able to release that, and I went, it's okay, I love myself, warts and all. So that is an example of how shame manifests in our life, but also how overcoming it, I feel freer. So for me, looking at shame is about personal freedom. So I'm okay inside myself, regardless of outside circumstances. And that allows me to become empowered from within. And then we can, when we go through that process, then we all show up in our authentic self, who we really are, our true soul expression can come forward. And just one thing I did want to touch up is how the body speaks the unconscious, and that is, you know, at the basis of psychosomatic therapy. The body speaks the unconscious. The mind is all the conscious, obviously, but the body speaks the unconscious. So we can actually even see. So if I'm not conscious of something, say, that I'm ashamed of, but if I'm reading my own body and my shoulders over years of being hunched forward have been formed that way in a real sort of submissive gesture, it tells me that there's something there that's keeping me from standing up straight, and I can look at that further. It can be seen in the body, in the inner thighs, if there's if they're held tight together or if there's excess tissue. I'm not saying this is always the case, but that could be associated to sexual shame, and that's a whole different world when we even start looking at the sexual component, because that's so embedded in cultural beliefs and religious beliefs. So the body will actually form and tell us where shame is being held. So that is where the beauty of the psychosomatic therapy comes in, because we can deal and heal from the conscious components of shame and other things, fear, but then we can also look at the ones that are unconscious, and those are the ones that are really rooted in the inner child, the original pains and traumas that we experience that we may be still holding on to.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you about perfectionism a little bit, because first of all, imagine a person who's always perfect, like visualize that in your head, a person who is a perfectionist, right? And you got that firmly in your head? Okay, now imagine somebody who's truly authentic. Do you see the difference? So I was listening to Brené Brown preparing for this call, and there was something that she said on the interview with Oprah. She had an interview with Oprah, and there was a few interesting little tidbits that she said during that interview. And I'm going to post a link to that interview in our mentor call thing, because I think it'd be really cool for everybody to listen to it, because it's great. The one thing that really, really resonated deeply with me is perfectionism is a shield to protect us from being hurt. But what it actually does, it protects us from being seen, right? We cannot be seen over our perfectionism. Now, let's think about where that comes from. So I like to analyze things. I thought back all the way back to ancient history. Why is this shame, perfectionism game that we're playing all the time? Where does that come from? And so from what I've researched, It seems that shame is an essential fear of being thrown out of the tribe at a very, very beginning of human society, when we were living in groups, and we were not able to survive on our own because of wild animals, because of climate, because of different things. One person alone may not be able to survive, and being in a group protected one. At that point, when that society would choose that we're unacceptable for whatever reason, at a very deep level, they might have kicked us out into the forest. And then we would have died. So knowing that shame is really connected with the fear of survival. But that fear, I mean, think about it. The saber-toothed tiger has been extinct for how many years? Yet we're still following the rules of society from all that time ago. How is that possible? Why would we worry about the saber-toothed tiger now? I know we're not consciously worried about the saber-toothed tiger, but we're worried about being rejected from society. The other thing that goes on in our society that causes a lot of shame for people is the greed mentality in the society of scarcity. We do live in a society of scarcity, and that comes from the original idea of competition, that nature is based on competition. Now, Charles Darwin, when he wrote Origin of Species, he had two ideas put forward, competition and cooperation. But his contemporaries thought that competition was the essential key to nature, and they totally dismissed cooperation. Yet, if we study nature at a deep level, we see both competition and cooperation. Now, in humanity, 100, 300, 500 years ago, it was still the masculine era. We were all about competition. We were all about success, all about invention, all about making changes in a very brain-oriented way, very analytical way. But the feminine era has started in 2012, and we're just at the very, very beginning of this era, but still remembering that all our shame comes from lack of, from competition as opposed to cooperation. And if we remember cooperation, we can then share our experience. We can then share what we feel. Yes, Adamantia, what would you like to add?
I just wanted to say something here about the cooperation. It's wonderful. What it triggers in me is first cooperation within oneself, and then that automatically will flow outward into our relationships and just our place here.
Yes. So the interesting things that Brené mentioned on the call was how we worry about the girls at the mall so much more, and their opinion of us so much more than our best friend, the best friend that spent so much time with us and has put so much energy into a relationship with us. Yet we are quick to dismiss and quick to be flippant about our plans with the friend or our relationship with the friend, yet strangers make a huge difference, and we want to always be perfect in front of strangers. That ties back to the deep-rooted shame and fear of lack of survival.
Yeah.
So we were going to look at some case study. We had concussion and how it relates to shame. One of our students had a concussion recently, and she did not want to tell anybody that she had a concussion. There was a few things going on. She wasn't paying attention, so she was judgmental toward herself because of that. She was in a rush. She was trying to be perfect. Perfectionist tripped her up, and she hit her head and had a concussion. So all those things can be related back to shame.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it was interesting because, first of all, just to get into a little bit about what a concussion is when we hit our head, and when you're dealing with the skull, the bones, these are deep lessons that are trying to be told to us. So with hitting the head, which is the crown chakra as well, it's really a sign to stop, and it's really shows about perhaps being in a place of overwhelm and wanting to overdo and overachieve, again, as Agnieszka stated, due to perfectionism or another belief system that is causing the mind to drive the being at such a speed that the universe kind of goes stop in a powerful way. because concussions are really, you know, if you know any of you have had one or know of anyone close to you who has had them, they take over, and you really get into a state of powerlessness where you can't, you know, it takes a real time to recover from them. And so there's the shame pre-manifestation of the concussion of having to overachieve, and I'm not saying this in particular to this case, but in general, of having to do, having to be good enough, having to achieve, having to succeed. And that can put a person to a state where unconsciously they can manifest something that makes them stop and have to really reassess. So it's like the inner being is calling to the mind and saying, stop. The body has now taken over, because that's where our wisdom is. That's where our truth is. The body, there was a quote we talked about last call, which is the body is God's messenger. So a real message of stop, slow down, look inward. Then there tends to be, and I've seen this again with other people who've had concussions, the feeling of shame after, because one can no longer perform and do, and again, do the things that they feel they have to do and need to do. And it's very difficult, especially, you know, in a world where we do need to do, to stop and to go internal, to stop, to listen. And that's really what a concussion's about. It's about stop and come inward. But the reason why that particular case study is interesting, just we're using concussion as an example, but it can manifest in many ways. It can manifest as physical accidents, diseases, or even just stress. And actually, I don't even want to say just stress, because stress on its own, mental and emotional, can be as, you know, debilitating as a physical stress. And again, as mentioned earlier, in forms of depression. So again, what is going on inwardly is being manifested outwardly in our physical form and our experiences. So again, showing the profound significance of stopping, going inward, and being honest, and looking at those parts of ourselves that we've hidden in the closet, and becoming willing to look at them, face them, and feel them. Because if, again, from my personal experience, when I was looking at these things, and I've done the shame now a few times.
You've done what?
Pardon?
You've done what?
The shame.
The same exercise?
Exercise, yeah. Agnieszka does my autocorrect. the shame exercise a few times, and different things do come up, but on a deeper level. So it's like, it's just like an onion, and it's like, okay, now I'm ready to look at that. As long as I have found that as long as the willingness is there to look at it, I'll always be shown. Because people have asked me, what if I have some things hiding that I don't know are there? And I said, okay, well, A, your body's going to tell us because it's in the formation. But also, again, it's been my experience when I have asked to be shown, whether I'm asking my higher self, the universe, God, divine source, whatever it is, that's personal to each individual. But when that question goes out, show me, more is revealed again. And then the more that I look at the next layer, the more freedom I have. So as I become a lighter vessel, so then the energy flowing through me is brighter. Our light can shine brighter, and that light is connected to our true essence, our soul's true expression.
Nice. Yeah, so as you can see, both shame and guilt are signposts that lead us back to our true essence. As long as we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, even just internal vulnerability, allowing our shortcomings to be examined in an open and honest way inside our own minds, we can then step into a bigger, more powerful us, ourselves, Lucy, Marissa, Chipo, Adamantia, Agnieszka, whoever, everybody. Right. So we're just going to open it to questions now. If you ladies have any questions, please. Hi, Chipo.
I don't have a question. I guess I just have a comment. I got what Carol said, but this is kind of going to another layer of my understanding of shame. I always think I do, and then when I hear something, it's like, oh, okay, so it's going in or going deeper, so which is good. I realized I wrote my book in 2009 and published in 2011, I think, 2010 or 2011. And the book says, I'm Good Enough for Me.
Nice.
That's the title of the book, because when the writing title was, I'm Not Good Enough. And this is where I felt that my shame, it changed there, because I was hanging on to I'm not good enough.
Yeah. I love that title so much, because it's the part that you added, for me. So I'm good enough alone is so powerful, but for me, so profound, because that's the only one that really we have to be good enough for. And to me, that just screams freedom. Like, that tells me that how free you are inside, because people are going to like us, people are not going to like us, people are going to agree with us, mm-hmm. are not going to agree with mm-hmm. us. But if I can agree with myself, you know, or like myself, so that's awesome. I'm going to Google your book and check it out.
It was really amazing, because when I was researching the title going around, I remember in the store I was looking for somebody who worked there, and she wasn't there. So I told this lady who was at the cash, I said, well, I want to just share with her my title of my book. And I told her, and she just broke down crying right there in the store. And I thought, okay. She said, that's my whole issue all my life.
Wow.
Being good enough.
Talk about knowing you're on purpose when something like that happens. And you know what else I love is the words are profound, but the energy behind it very powerful. So I'll be checking that out.
Okay. Thank you. It's on my website, though.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Marissa, do you have any questions, or would you like to share any of your experiences with having done the work yourself?
Sure. I have a random question. It's not really related to shame. Should I ask that?
Sure.
Or do you want me to say it?
Sure. Don't be ashamed to ask it. Go for it.
So when you have someone who is sick, is it typical for them to not want to feel within their body and want to sort of escape and flight like into their head, so you can see like their pupils, you know, the white underneath their eyes? Is that typical?
Yes. I mean, that's absolutely possible. I'm not going to say typical, because every case is individual. I'm going to say it's absolutely possible, because the being in the head and escaping the body is how the disease would manifest. And right? Are you talking about a disease?
Just like a cold, any kind of, I'm just curious.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a disassociation. So the cold, again, would be something similar to a shutting down. It's a bit of like wanting to go internally, a timeout. So somebody can be consciously saying they want to get better from it, but on some level it's serving them. Possibly, it's just saying possibly, and they might not even be. Well, when you're dealing with the unconscious, right? They just might not be aware of it. So yeah. So when the eyes are doing that, it means that they are leaving their body, in particular if they're going up, they're going into their head and then disassociating. But what you can do is just bring awareness to them, and that's where the gift of this work is. Because until I knew lifting my eyes up meant I was leaving my body, I didn't know. But then once the awareness was brought to me, then I could bring myself back into my body.
So any tips on someone who is aware and how to bring them back into their body?
Do they want to be in their body?
I've had a cold, sinus infection, fever, sore throat for the last week. And I've had a lot of change in my life. I started at the wellness center last week.
Okay, so are you feeling overwhelmed, even though, because sometimes it can be wonderful things are happening.
Sinus. Yeah. Sinus infection would talk about anger towards somebody who's close to you.
Right, myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have awareness of that?
Yes, there's a heightened awareness, but I still can't get my pupils down.
You can't get your eyes to what?
I can't get my pupils to come down, and it's been a week.
Have you expressed the anger? Do you know what you're, are you aware of what you are angry at about?
Yes.
And have you felt the anger behind it?
I'm too tired. My body is exhausted.
Is that why you're angry?
Possibly.
But Marissa, you're on the beach right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is an amazing opportunity to ground, because when your pupils are going up, right, that just shows that your communication with the upstairs, divine or whatever, universal consciousness, is really flowing well, but the communication with Mother Earth and grounding is lacking, right, just by the position of your eyes. So how about really consciously do some earthing and grounding and releasing? And sometimes, you know, I always thought that I had to analyze the reasons and the motivations behind emotional release. But when I went to Vipassana, I discovered that I can just release without knowing what I'm releasing. So sometimes just a little bit more grounding can really make a huge difference. And you don't have to necessarily think about the issue at hand. Just feel the emotion seep into the earth.
And I guess the other question I would ask, Marissa, is are you giving yourself the time out that your body perhaps may be asking you for? Because you can be aware that that is happening. Are you responding to its needs?
Yes, I have all week.
All week. Okay, then I think then compassion for where you're at, and that the body will let you know when it's released. Because sometimes we want to just push it away. I have this cold and I need to get rid of it. I need to get rid of it. And possibly, I'm not saying this is the case, but possibly even so I can get back to what I need to do. But what I'm going to suggest is that you allow the body to tell you when it's time to get back. So that might just be patience and self-love at your compassion center, connecting with your inner child, because maybe she is requiring a timeout or she's calling you as well.
Yeah, I've done some inner child work, and I'm working on the love and compassion.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes it's a process, and it runs its course. And the eyes, just keep bringing them down and focus on your feet, like Agnieszka was saying.
Okay, awesome, thank you.
Yeah, and also, Marissa, just try. I've met Marissa, so I am aware she knows where her jaw release points are. You might want to try out those trigger points as well, okay?
Yeah, I've been doing those all week, too. Thank you.
Okay, well, then it sounds you're right on track.
Yeah, and just one more clarification. When Anamandia said focus on your feet, I don't think it means visual focus. I mean unconscious emotional connection with your feet and with the grounding, with your ability to ground.
Yes.
Ironically, I did a foot release the night before I got sick.
There you go.
It's all releasing.
Yeah, good.
It's all perfect.
Yeah, good.
So there was one more person that joined us a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Who is that?
That's Holly. Sorry I was late.
Hey, Holly.
Welcome, Holly.
It's okay. You can always listen to the replay or join us this evening as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just come in a little bit late.
Hello?
I was late and catch whatever I could, knowing there was a replay.
Good. We were just getting into some feedback. We had heard from Chipo and Marissa in regards to their experience with the shame exercise. And, so we'd love to hear from you. We're just going to ask Lucy next. And then if you can tell us a little bit about where you're at with it as well.
Or anything.
I haven't. Okay, go ahead. Yes,
okay.
I'm brand new to this, so I haven't done any of it yet.
Okay, well, we can talk about that. we'll just go with Lucy next, and then, we'll come back to you, Holly. Welcome.
Thank you.
So Lucy, would you like to share your experience with the shame exercise, or do you have any questions that we could answer?
I don't have any questions. Some of the things on the shame came up from my, I had a sister that drowned, and a lot of the shame that I felt was I felt responsible for her no longer being there, even though I was only like two or three.
Wow, yes.
And that was really intense. And then I felt a lot of shame because my parents got divorced shortly after that, and I felt like there was something wrong with me.
Because, wow, yeah.
And so that was, I thought I worked through a lot of those issues, and that brought up some really, really core inner child issues. So,
wow, that's profound awareness. And how do you feel in connection to that now as opposed to before?
Well, before I wasn't aware.
Right.
I mean, I thought I worked through it and it's like, okay, it's done. So I wasn't aware that it was still affecting me.
Wow. And how do you feel now in regards to that, Pete?
I feel good. I feel, you know, I did as a child should do.
Yes.
Just be me.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. I love that. That's a beautiful example of if you're willing and you ask, more shall be revealed.
I find that many issues, like some of my deeper issues from childhood, when I work through them, they a few years later, or even a few months later, they come back at a deeper level, and I'm able to clear it deep, more and more deeply every time. So just allowing myself the compassion that if I don't fix it today, it's all good, and if it comes back, then there's one more piece to be cleared.
Yes.
You can also work through the Body Awakening Method modules more than once.
Oh, I did shame exercise several times this past week.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, that's great, Lucy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
So, Holly, did you have any questions or comments or anything that we can answer?
Actually, no, I'm just enjoying whatever I'm hearing right now because, as I mentioned, I'm brand new to this and haven't gotten into any of the modules yet, but just decided to join the call anyway and just see whatever it was I could get from it before beginning.
Great.
Awesome. So I just wanted to say one thing, and this might help everybody who's listening for on the replay as well, is that when you sign up for a Body Awakening Method, you get those weekly emails that tell you which module to work on in each given week. But in reality, the modules are all available to you at all times in the dashboard. So basically all anybody would need to do is go to thelightworkersinstitute.com/login and then click on the login button on the right, sign in with their email and their password. And once they're in there, they can access anything. And you ladies, I am aware that you have access to the 16 modules for Body Awakening Method, plus the bonus material, plus the Art and Science of Face Reading, and the toolkit, and the bedroom yoga. So there's many things on the dashboard that you can access with your level of access, and you can certainly enjoy many of them at different times. Like the toolkit has personal self-discovery elements about your body and your consciousness, and those can be done at any time. They don't need to go in order. Only the modules for Body Awakening Method really need to be done in order because they are sequential.
And Holly, just to let you know that the shame component that we were talking about today, that's in Module 3.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, so there's a great shame exercise that walks you through the awareness of the shame, the releasing of it. So, and I think you weren't on the call earlier when we said this is our second mentor call, and we will be posting replays of all the mentor calls on the website as well. So you can go back and listen to the first call we did, which is on the timeline, which is found in Module 4.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. We have a launch of a six-month program that starts today for our business, so I haven't gone diving headfirst into these modules, but I'm looking forward to it as soon as the space clears a little bit after this evening when we get our first teleseminar off and running.
Great, great. Yes, and you do have access to the Facebook page as well.
Yes.
Great.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being there for all of us.
Thank you. I'm really glad you guys joined us today.
Well, we're just joined by one more person, and I want to find out if she has any questions before we go away. And that's Gloria Bickham. Hey, Gloria, how are you?
Hello, Agnieszka, and lovely.
Adamantia.
Adamantia. Hi, Gloria. It's okay. I won't hold it against you. I can barely say it sometimes.
I'm trying to. My computer's doing something wonky here. It's like I'm trying to focus on that because it's given me a few problems. I'm like, don't disconnect.
Well, we are doing this call again this evening if you want to join us then, Gloria.
Oh, I know. So it's good so far. So I'm staying in for that. I'm staying on.
Well, we're just about finished because this call has been going on for about an hour now. So we're going to stay as long as you have any questions. But if you'd like to listen to the presentation part of the call, you can either join us on replay or join us this evening.
So what time this evening?
4:00 Pacific.
So that's 5:00 our time.
Yes. And we do have a couple of moments here, but just so you know, we were doing the shame today, which is found in shame exercise is what we're talking about, shame. And it's found in module 3. And we were just taking a time. Everybody was just sharing a little bit about their experience with having done the shame exercise. And if you had any input, because I do believe you have done it when we were live, I believe.
Yeah, in Vancouver, yeah.
Yes. So did you have any comments as to or questions about that component?
No, not offhand. No, I don't offhand, but I'll prepare for this evening.
Oh.
Any other questions you want to ask us, Gloria, while you have our undivided attention?
Well, I mean, for me, there's often enough, there's something that comes up in regards to shame. And what I recognize is it all goes back to when I was a little girl and my experiences of it. So it's just paradigms. It's not the living truth. It's just what's emotionally cellular that's been stored in memory that triggers, you know, a current day response triggers that. And for me to be aware of it and just know is that, you know what, I can take care of that little girl and it's not shame anymore.
Beautiful. Well, that was our call in a nutshell.
Nice conclusion, Gloria.
Nice conclusion. Beautiful, actually.
Oh, thank you.
So does anybody else have any comments or questions? Or
okay.
Well, all right.
Thank you so much for joining us and for all the great input.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Chipo.
Sorry, I was muted. So do you know where the November class is going to be in Calgary? Exactly the hotel?
No, I don't know exactly because we're still deciding whether we're going to have it at the Lightworkers Institute head office or in a hotel.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out where to stay, so.
Yeah, I will see if we can get that to you as soon as we can. I'll talk to Carol about it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
When is that in November? Because I just want to put that in my calendar. Found a plan for that.
So the Calgary one is November 20th to the 22nd.
Okay, right.
And there's one in Vancouver and Sedona too, you know that. But Sedona is full.
Yeah, I'm not able to fly out to either places. So I've been blessed so much with... I'm going to be a grandma, so I am spending time.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, with my daughter-in-law and finding midwives and doulas and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just really excited, and I'm sticking close to home for her.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Congratulations. So you will take that 3.5-hour drive to come down here to spend November 22nd, 20th to 22nd with us then, Gloria?
So I do want to. I'm missing you guys terribly.
Yes, it would be great to see you there.
I don't think Carol or anybody realized how much I use this work on a daily basis for myself personally, and just even talking to others, and it's just opening up and opening up where friends of mine are just saying, Gloria, you do need to talk about this more. So I've got church groups that want to know about it, girlfriends that want to get together. I've started massage therapy, aroma massage therapy, and lymphatic drainage massage. So I integrate it with that. So Carol has been huge, huge in my life to make changes and steps forward.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's great.
So anybody else? Or are you all going to join us this evening for the second call?
No, not me. I'm
booked. It'll be a little late for you, Chipo, right?
Yeah.
Are you sending the recording out shortly?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. I'll listen to it before 5.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Bye
now.
Thank you guys for the call.
Thanks. Get better.
Thanks. Working on it.
All right. Take it easy. Bye.